Well, we sure entreat your prayers this morning. We really want the Lord to bless our time together and our worship to the Lord. I wrote on the board, Jesus. You know, Jesus, it's pretty amazing that anything ever came of a man coming to the earth that was crucified and died at around 33 years old, and sometimes you have a moment here. He, you know, Jesus was so many things, and I want to think about him this morning. He was meek, he was mild, and yet he was a conqueror that John saw on a white horse. He saw the gospel going forth, didn't he? Conquering and to conquer. He had great power. He's the most powerful man that ever lived. And yet, he never made a tumult. He never raised an army. He never fought a battle in that way. But he brought more persecution against himself than most of us will ever see in a lifetime. A long lifetime. Jesus has some things to tell us. He left a something behind him that changed the world. For 2,000 years it's changed the world. For thousands of years before he came, it changed the world. Because God said he was going to send the Messiah, didn't he? The Jews were expecting him. And so this morning, I just want the Lord to open up our hearts to realize what the Lord, what He is, the example that He's left for us, the blessing that He wants to be in our lives, the blessing He wants our lives to be. I want to start in Matthew 13 and 33. And like I say, I'd like you to pray for us this morning. I feel like we have a valuable something here. It says, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. You know, when you think about leaven, you don't see it. You don't hear it. You can hardly observe it, but you can observe what it's doing. You know, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven's like that. Do you know that Jesus never came down and impressed the crowds with a golden chariot? He never had a palace with ivory all over it and gold pillars and all. Jesus never did any of that, did he? But he changed the world. And he gave some things to us and an example to us. And he gave some things for us to think about. He said the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Now, I don't know how insignificant you may feel like your life is. But Jesus wants our lives to be like leaven. That's the way the kingdom of heaven works. It works in a loaf. The leaven does, doesn't it? It works in a loaf and it just does its thing. How does it do that? You put a little bit in, eventually it'll leaven the whole loaf, won't it? And eventually the whole thing, you'll see that it was leavened. I think Jesus would like for us to think about something. He would like our lives to be like leaven. And the Lord wants to be in us such that whatever place he puts us in, and however insignificant it is, don't wish you had a big foghorn or microphone or whatever. If we have just a real seemingly insignificant place, do you know the Lord works in those ways? And he wants to work in our lives in such a way that it has a real effect on all those around us. You know, I have watched when somebody walks on a job site, and if you've ever been on a job site, a construction job with a lot of men on there, whoever on there, you'll hear the most awful words and cursing and language, just in common language. Do you know that when somebody comes on the job that really has something morals about them and the Lord's in them, you know what that tends to do? It tends that any place that they're around, it starts working a little work, doesn't it? People that don't seem just hardened people, do you know most of the time there will be an effect by the gospel that somebody brings? Jesus was spoken of by Isaiah over here in Isaiah 42 and 1. And it says here, "Behold my servant." I want you to look at my servant now. I want you to look at this Messiah, "whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Do you know that Jesus came to bring us the grace of God? He came to deliver us. He came to bring us righteous principles. And it says, "He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." Do you know that conquerors don't act that way? When they come, they make a show, don't they? They show their power. They show their strength. They're very intimidating. And they want to be lifted up, don't they? Do you know that Jesus came with just a total opposite approach? And you would think sometimes, how could this be? We heard about in Sunday school this morning, the contrast between, you know, the Lord tells us to be ready for persecution. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And yet he tells us we're going to have peace. And yet he tells us to rejoice and be exceeding glad when men speak evil of you. Do you know this morning there's a great contrast to the gospel that unless we understand it, we may think it weak. Jesus was meek. He was gentle. He was humble and mild. That's the way he always was. Now, I know that Jesus spoke forcefully to people sometimes and told them the truth. But Jesus was very meek in his approach, very mild in his approach. But I want us to think this morning, he told us, he said, "I want you to come and take my yoke upon you." He said, "I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." And he's telling us, come and get in step with me. Do it like I did it. Take my yoke on you. You know, sometimes I think people mistake meekness for weakness. Jesus was anything but weak, wasn't he? He had the most power. He told them, he said, he could have called, 12 legions of angels to come and deliver him from the cross. But he didn't, because he had a mission to do. Jesus was strong in what he came to do. And this morning, we want to think about a little bit of that. He was the ruler of the world. He was God in the flesh. And yet he was meek and gentle and kind. And he says, come and get in step with me. I know we preached a message on that. That's not totally, that's just part of the thought this morning. But I want us to think about getting in step with the Lord. You know what he said in Isaiah 42, and we read on there. Third verse says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." And when we look at that, you think about Peter when he denied the Lord. Right there, the Lord was there. He knew he was doing that. He looked up at Peter, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. But you know what? He never stepped on Peter. He never stomped Peter down for what he did. Peter denied. I'm telling you, and he cursed and swore. I'm telling you, I don't know the man. Did Jesus, what did he do? You know what? He humbly, he told Peter before the fact, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know, this morning, Peter, the Lord just lifted him up. He didn't step on him. Don't expect to get stepped on by the Lord. Don't expect to get slapped around by the Lord. Do you know that He considers our frame and He knows that we are dust? Do you know that He looks at us, and if we do misstep, do you know what He does? He told Peter, He said, you know, I'm going to still use you, Peter. Go strengthen the brethren. Now, I know there's boundaries in those things, but I want to tell you something. The Lord, His kingdom and the way it works is so different than the kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of this world work by the power of force, intimidation, and all those things. And the kingdom of heaven works just the opposite. It works by a meek and a quiet and a kind spirit. And you know what? Jesus does that for us, doesn't He? Isn't that encouraging to know that? Well, I'll tell you what. He says, come get in step with me. I want you to do that for others. That's the way I want. If you do have to say something, love them. Love them enough that they know it. You know, Jesus did that, didn't He, this morning? He was full of grace and power. He was the Son of God. He wouldn't break a reed that was already damaged. He just would make it stronger. So I want to encourage us this morning that if we're that reed, the Lord just wants to make it stronger. He wants to take our insufficiencies, and He wants to forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, and He wants us to go on, and He wants to make something out of us. He has a plan in mind for our life, and the Lord wants to use our life. Did you know that this morning? And He wants us to treat other people the same way today. He was full of grace and truth. You know, there was a chariot. That a man from Ethiopia was in. Maybe we'll read a little of that. Acts, the 8th chapter and the 26th verse. It says here, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You know, the Lord knows when there's a seeking heart. And He knows when our heart's seeking. I want to tell you what He will do. He'll take someone a long ways away and bring them to you when your heart's seeking, if you need it. He did that for Cornelius, didn't He? Cornelius fasted and prayed and loved the Lord and did everything he could. And you know what? When the Lord gave the Holy Spirit, you know what He did? He wanted Peter. He sent Peter down there to Cornelius, and Cornelius received this gift. Cornelius had that seeking heart. And so he said, the Lord told him, He said, you go and join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some men guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Don't sound like a conqueror to me. But see the contrast? See see how this is so different, and yet it worked so mightily. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, His judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I wonder what all he told him. I would love to hear what he said. He preached unto him Jesus, the Son of God, the all-powerful, the one that every knee is going to bow to. And yet when he was here, he said he was as a servant. He wasn't like these conquerors, like these big rulers. Jesus was as a servant, wasn't he? But I wonder what happened. I wonder what happened in this eunuch's life. He went home. He went on his way back to his place. He had a seeking heart. He came down to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And the Lord said, you know what? I'm going to give this man what he's looking for. I'm going to give him what he's really looking for. And so the Lord sent Philip all the way over there to tell him about Jesus. All this morning, I wish the Lord would just open our hearts and help us this morning and reveal to our hearts a little more Jesus. I wonder what happened when he went home to the queen and he went back to the court and his life was enlivened and so changed, and he learned a whole new concept. He learned about Jesus. He learned about what Jesus meant. I don't know what all Philip told him. I don't know how long he was there. But he was baptized. And, you know, this is an awesome story, isn't it? Amen. The place, let's see. We go on, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. You know, he's talking about here something that he said, who's this talking about? Philip preached to him about Jesus, about what he came to bring us. You know, in Hebrews it says, Hebrews 12, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. You resisted it unto blood striving against sin? He says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. You know what? Jesus really endured some things for us, didn't he? He endured some things in his life. He wants us to get in step with him. We haven't endured unto blood yet. The scriptures tell us, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The song tells us to meekly hold the true position. You know, Jesus had strength with honor. He wasn't unseemly in his way. He didn't do what he did by the force of men or by the force of power upon people. But he had something that worked, and it changed the lives of those around him. And they went, and those apostles went throughout all the world, and they preached the same gospel. And they preached unto the people Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one that brought meekness to the world. Stop fighting. It's time to be meek and gentle. It's time to bring the gospel, the power, the grace that the Lord has to our situations. You know, that's what Jesus wants to do, isn't it? And when he does that, I want to tell you, things are changed. Things are changed. Forgiveness can happen. Come unto me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest to your souls. You can quit your fighting. You can quit trying to conquer in your own might. I'll bring peace to your situation. I just wonder what happened with this eunuch. I would love to know his story. He goes back down there to Ethiopia. I wonder how things changed. You know, he was a Jew. Before that, the Jews could use the sword. They could, but Jesus didn't do that. Wonder how things changed in that court. I wonder what kind of influence he began to have, that they were like, what happened when he was in Jerusalem this time? I expect he told them what happened. In Matthew 13 and 31, if we can only see the power that the gospel has, not in the way that we would think of it carnally, but in the way that the Lord thinks of it. He says here in Matthew 13 and 31, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. Now see, he just relates it. Why would he do this? Why wouldn't he say the kingdom of heaven is larger than any other kingdom in the world? It is. The kingdom of heaven is more powerful than any other kingdom in the world. It is. The king is more powerful than anyone else in the world. He is. He made everyone. He's not only more powerful, he is power. And so he says, though, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. You know what? That word that we speak to someone, maybe we think it's so insignificant. Maybe we think we are so insignificant, and we are. And yet, there's power in the words of life to change so much, isn't there? The kingdom of heaven, okay, to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs. Those things that feed people. Those things that change the taste of things. And becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And then he goes on to talk about the leaven after that. But I just want us to consider these few little things this morning. Oh, the Lord help us today that we don't underestimate the power of the gospel. Wherever we are, live the gospel like it's supposed to be lived. Because we don't know the enormous change that can happen from that. We think maybe, well, we have to have the last word. They need to know. Well, maybe they don't. Maybe they need to see a meek and a quiet spirit. Maybe they need to hear the sound of someone that is meek and humble. Maybe they need to hear that this morning. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power, Paul wrote. You know, these things that we're talking about this morning do nothing to damage what the word says in Revelation 6 and 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now I want to tell you something. Why is there such persecution? Why is there such resistance from the enemy against Christians that won't hurt anybody? Why is it? I'll tell you why. Luke 10 and 18, Jesus said here, I beheld, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You know, Satan has fallen from his place, his high exalted place in the hearts of men. Satan has fallen from that. You know why? Because Jesus came and paid for that for us. Jesus came and paid a price that delivered our souls from the power of Satan. Do you know how amazing that is in situations? You know how changed that is when people begin to act like Christians? When people are Christians in a setting of the world? Oh, the Lord help us to get in step with Him and to walk with Him, because, folks, there's great power in that. Why is the devil so upset? Because Jesus stripped him of his power. And he didn't use a soldier to do it. He used the grace of God. He used the power of God. He used the power of love. Do you know what? A lot of times you can take hatred. Do you know you can't get enough soldiers? You can't get a cell that can break that out of somebody? But I'll tell you what can. And that's the power of love. It's the power of forgiveness. It's the power of loving them anyway, even though they're not lovable. You know, that's the gospel this morning. It's a powerful gospel because it works. It works in such, it works underhanded, underground, you don't see it. But it works, doesn't it? You know, people can't hardly stand up to love. You start treating them with real love. I don't mean just go be nice to them sometime. Start really loving them. Pray for them. Give them something. Talk to them. Let them know I'm concerned about you. But let them know more than that, I love you in ways that are meaningful. Do you know this morning that power begins to change the dynamics of things. Things begin to change when nothing else can. You can't force a man not to hate someone. But I'll tell you what, if you can get him to love and see how he could be free, that's a great thing, isn't there? And so Satan has fallen. He's fallen from his place. He's fallen from his place to have power over men. And so in Acts 4 and 7, I'll show you a little bit of how the gospel was spread and the power of it. Starting at 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Do you know it did not stop them from being strong, from being bold in the Lord? But I will tell you, this name of Jesus, he said, this man stands before you whole. That by the name of Jesus, this man stands here before you whole. So this morning, I hope we can recognize that we are not part of something that is weak. We're part of something that is meek. We're not part of something that has no power or authority. We are part of something that has all the power and all the authority that is in the world, because we serve the one that has all of that this morning. In the last of this verse, you know, these people went, Peter and them went and prayed. How did they fight? They went and they got on their knees and they told the Lord God about all that had happened and everything that was going on. And you know, the place was shaken. The place was shaken. And it says, and with great power, verse 33, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The Lord, I can only imagine this eunuch hearing about the resurrection. Never heard about that before. The resurrection. And it says here, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I just want to encourage us this morning, get a hold of the great grace of God. You want to see things change? Let's spend enough time in prayer and seeking the Lord and getting a hold of the grace of God until things change. I want to tell you, when these people began to pray and they prayed together, which I believe is a vital part of these things, we just take our things to the Lord by ourselves. That's good. But I want to tell you what's better. and that's to get with some others. There's great power in that. And the place was shaken when they did that. And they gave great witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know what? The world was changed. They went out. People were healed and things happened. And things changed. Do you know over in Acts 17, I'm going to look at another place here, where Paul and Silas, I believe it was, 17 and 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Isn't that the way the world does it? Isn't that the way most conquerors would come? They would assault whoever, and Jesus would have assaulted the Jews. But you know what he did instead? He changed their hearts, the ones that were willing to let the Lord work. And it says, when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these have turned the world upside down and are come hither also. I'm sorry, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Do you know that these people had heard, hadn't they? And yet there was no great campaign. It was just the Spirit of God working in people's hearts. And it worked largely as leaven. And they stoned Paul, and he gets up and he goes to the next town. And what's he doing there? He's preaching to them about Jesus, the one that can change your hearts. Folks, we don't want to underestimate the power of what we're a part of here. We don't want to feel like that it's insignificant and so small that there's nothing that, we can't do anything. I want to tell you what. Live the power of the Lord right where you are. And the Lord will put you in that place that can change things. The Lord tells us, he said, to be the salt of the earth, didn't he? You know what? Salt doesn't, it doesn't have swords and it doesn't have a great making. Put it in there. You don't see it, but it sure changes things, doesn't it? He told us, be the salt of the earth. He told us that a light is put on a candlestick. You know why? To give light to all that are in the room. The Lord wants to put us on a candlestick sometimes. Now, we might think that's a place of honor. Well, it might be a place of heavy persecution. He told Paul, he said, you're going to go before kings for my name's sake. And you're going to suffer a lot of things, Paul. If we want a life of just ease and comforts and all of those things, folks, we'll never go the places the Lord wants us to go. Let's get a hold of the graces of God and let's ask Him, Lord, I want You to have Your way in my life. You turned the world upside down. These people had to admit the world's been turned upside down by these people that most had never met. But yet there was a power in that that worked. There was a power in lives. There was a power in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit that changed lives, wasn't there? Oh, this morning, the song says, because He lives. That's the name of the song. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. And He's asking us, folks, to get in step. Get in the harness with me. Get in the yoke with me. Go where I go. Do it like I do it. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because He lives. I know sometimes it's like, should we bring children into this wicked world? I'll tell you what, yes, we should. And we should bring children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We should help them to get Jesus in their lives so that they can go out in the face of persecutions and troubles and all of those things and face those things. We bring them up, teaching them. No, we don't live carnally. Teaching them by example how to live for the Lord and bring life to others. I'll fight life's final war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future and life is worth the living just because He lives. A couple more scriptures here. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 4, Paul wrote, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses." You know, he says, approving ourselves as the minister of God in the midst of all of these things. You know what? We all have our own set of issues, don't we? And they're very different. We all have our own set of problems that we have to deal with. For some, it's physical. For some, it's marriage. For some, because we can't always help that. For some, it's emotional issues. There's so many different things. But I want to tell you something. In the midst of all that we are in this life and have to do with, let's show ourselves approved to God. And let's make ourselves ministers to other people in much patience in the midst of all of these things. Another scripture on down there in that same reading, verse 10, says, "As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich." These are pretty great contrasts here, aren't they? "As having nothing and yet possessing all things." What a contrast all these things are. It's like being in the midst of persecution and the Lord says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." And He says, "Have peace." Is that odd? Yes, it's odd. It's very odd to the world and it's powerful. That's what people are seeking today. They're looking for peace. They're looking for something. They're looking for security. And Paul tells us, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Several of those books, you know where Paul was when he wrote them? He was in prison. And he tells us to rejoice. And he tells us all of those good, wholesome things we love. We read again and again. He said, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, I don't know where you're at on the scheme of life today, but I want to tell you something. If we're poor in spirit, if we're poor in standing with people, he said, yet making many rich. We got something to share, folks. Don't underestimate the power of the mustard seed. And don't underestimate the power of the leaven, because it'll go all through the loaf if we'll let it. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. That's what the Lord tells us. Having nothing and yet we possess everything. That's the Lord, isn't it? He preached unto them Jesus, didn't he? Peter told him, it's by the power in the name of Jesus that this man stands before you whole. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to use our lives. He wants to make people's lives whole. And the Lord wants us to do it with Him. He wants to get us to get in step. We want Jesus to do it. Well, let's get in step with Him. You pray for me that I can live this way too.